Tessayin Sivan, Wednesday the 19th of June, Rabbi Pinchas Hakenbroch, setting the world on fire.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You have to forgive me the topic, when Dudi asked me for a topic, that was the first thing that came into my head. There may be some tenuous connection to the topic, but we may not get to answering how do we set the world on fire. But we are speaking about misloinenim. We are going to speak about complaints. So that can be the first complaint, why I'm not sticking to the topic. Misloinenim. Complaints is something that as a nation we seem to excel at. You know the story of the waiter who's serving these Jewish couple, they're difficult. So he goes up to them at the end of them and he says, "Tell me, was anything okay?" That's the way it is. People don't seem to be happy. And that's the position, and we find that this is a pivotal moment in our parasha, in the whole of Bamidbar, this week's parasha, and we see there's a change. And the change is around, in the parasha, when we come to the complaints about meat. People come to Moshe Rabbeinu, they're asking why it is that they can't have meat. And Moshe's response and his reaction is exceptionally uncharacteristic. And that needs some explanation. I'll read a few of the psukim just to familiarize ourselves, to remind ourselves of it, what's going on. So Moshe seems to react harshly. So the people ask, Moshe hears the complaints of the people, they're complaining, Moshe responds after hearing these complaints, and he says, "Lama hariyosa lavadecha? Why are you doing this terrible thing to your servant? But lama lo matzasi chen ve'inecha? Why haven't I found favor in your eyes? Asimis masa kol amazeh alai? Why are you putting all this burden on my back? Anecha resias kol amazeh manachi yelisiu kizoyma elai sa'i v'chekecha kesher yisa ha'yemin esa yonek al adama shinishbata lavoisa. I've got to look after this nation. I've got to treat them like a baby, bring them up. May I only basa laseis kol lachol amazeh? Where am I," says Moshe, "where am I meant to get meat from in order to sustain this nation, this people? Because they've asked, they're crying about not having meat." Says Moshe, goes further, seems to be overreacting. "I can't carry this burden anymore on my own. And if this is the way things are going to progress, kill me, wipe me out. I can't be the Jewish leader anymore." What's Hashem's response? The reaction is, "Vayom Hashem Moshe, es pali shivim ish mezikne Yisrael, gather together, shivim ish, zikne Yisrael." So we're going to have a delegation that are going to be acting on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu. 70, introduced here, seen here, and never seen again. And then, to add to the mix, one final uncharacteristic aspect is what happens afterwards. So the Rabbein Shem listens to the request of Moshe. And we should just expect that what comes next is he says, "You're going to get your meat. You want basa. You want steak. It's coming." No, that's not the bracha that he gives. The Rabbein Shem says, "Lo yom echad toichlun v'lo yomayim." You're not going to eat this meat now just for one day. You're going to eat it for days on end. V'lo chamisha yomim, not for 5 days. V'lo asar yomim. Listen to the verbose language. V'lo asar yomim, not 10 days, v'lo isrim yomim, not even 20 days. Ad chodesh yomim, up to a month, asher sheyetze mi'apchem. It's going to be coming out of your noses. V'yalachem l'zor yan, and etc. What's going on? Pelepoim. Never seen anything like it. Moshe is the Manig Yisrael. That means a Rav, any Rav will tell you, any Manig Yisrael will tell you, the job of a leader is to listen to the complaints, the grumbles, the kvetches of Klal Yisrael. That's what you do, and then you deal with it. He had it before. He had a proven track record. On each occasion, Moshe Rabbeinu had been able to besiege, to daven to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and he received an answer. They needed food. They complained about food. Moshe gets them on. They want water. He gets them water. Whatever they want, Moshe Rabbeinu is able to turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom and ask him for it, and they get it. So why is it that here it seems he can't cope with his complaint? He says, it's too much for me. I need other people. I can't do it on my own. This masa is too much for me. Just daven for meat, and the Rabbeinu Shalom will provide meat. Secondly, we see that he asked for 70 elders, right? Or Hashem provides 70 elders, right? This is the Zikanim. We never see them before, and we never see them afterwards. They were in the Nesiim, but we never seen these. Why is it here, Davka, that they needed these Zikanim? Thirdly, why is it that this particular thing threw Moshe so off kilter that he says, Locha, wipe me out, kill me, I cannot be the Manig Yisrael anymore. Rabbeinu Shlomo will provide, he'll turn, he'll provide you with meat, right? And that's it. You move on to the next thing, the next complaint. Another question. And yet, finally, a brocha. What type of brocha is this? A brocha, the Rabbeinu Shlomo says, I'm going to give you meat, I'm going to answer your bakoshas for meat. How am I going to give it to you? I'm going to give it to you so much so, you're going to eat it not for one day, not for 2 days, not for 5 days, not for 10 days, not for 20 days, for a whole month, so much so until it's coming out of your nostrils. For you to imagine a child, right? We want to give a child a privilege, I don't know, some sweets. We're going to say to the kid, you ask for some sweets, you ask for some chocolate, not only for one chocolate bar, not only two chocolate bars, I'm going to give you chocolate until it's coming out your nose, until you're throwing up with chocolate. What type of reward is that? What type of brocha is that? Right? It doesn't seem right. So, we have to understand our misconception when it comes to brochas. And that is going to be the aside, which is based on the writings of Rav Tzadok, which will hopefully enable us to understand and to be able to appreciate and understand, answer all these questions, as well as fitting in the pieces of this week's Parsha and beyond. So in Sefer Charedim, in discussing the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim, he says, the way we understand it, just by way of introduction, is be it a tzaddik or be it Kohanim, we understand, we go to a tzaddik, we go to a Kohanim, right? And we ask for a brocha, the brocha or the Birkas Kohanim, it comes to us, we just got to stand there and that's it. Says the Sefer Charedim, a Moridika Chiddush, he says, it's not enough that you just stand there. It's not enough that you are just passive. V'Yisrael ha'oimdim, ponim keneged Kohanim, b'shtika, you got to stand facing the Kohanim, quietly, u'mechavnim lekabel es ha'brocha, k'dva Hashem. A person, the recipient, has to, when he is hearing that bracha, he has to have the kavanas that he is going to receive that bracha from Hashem. V'hu nami bichlau ha-mitzvah. The makabel, the recipient, having these kavanas that I'm now receiving the bracha, that is an integral part of Birkas Kohanim, says the Sefer Charedim. So therefore, we see that there are two aspects to the bracha. There's the mashpia, there's a noisen, and there's a makabel. And both of them have to be in tune with each other. It's not the way we understand it, regrettably. We go to Reb Chaim, we ask for a bracha, we get the bracha, tick. We go to the Ger Rebbe, whoever it is, we go on, tick. And we go around collecting brachas. That's the way we go through life. So let's try and understand how brachas really work. Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains that we think that we go to a tzaddik, we ask for parnosa, tzaddik goes to the cupboard, pulls it off the shelf, parnosa, this is for parnosa, this is for health, whatever it is, and that's the way it works. And therefore when Hashem gives bracha in this world, right, says Rav Tzadok, it doesn't work that way. It's not that a matter of that you ask for a bracha, tzaddik davens for you, and then he gives it directly to the person who's requesting the bracha. It doesn't work that way. He says that it has to go through a keli, has to go through a vessel, has to go through some type of tzin or some type of pipe or conduit to receive the bracha. If you imagine that you go to a tap and you want to get some water out of it, you open the tap, right? And nothing comes out. You know why nothing comes out? Because there's no piping underneath. It's not connected to anything. It's just a faucet, it's just a tap. So it is that when it comes to brachas, we know the Maharal says that the word bracha is the same as brecha, which means a wellspring. And there is this wellspring in heaven, in Shemayim, and therefore the brachas have to make their way down from Shemayim into this world. And it trickles down through a pipeline. That pipeline is the comes to the neshama of the tzaddik, who gave him the bracha. And then it eventually works its way from the neshama of the tzaddik to the neshama of whoever's asking for the bracha. So, the story of the Svaser, I think it's regarding the Svasemes, that we know that when it comes to Chassidish Rebbe's, there's an inyan of Shirayim. The person goes, you line up, the Rebbe makes a bracha, my understanding at least, and then they pass around, and you're given Shirayim from the challah, whatever it is, the food that the Rebbe made a bracha on. So there was once a Litvak who went to such a gathering, and Sfas Emes was passing the Shirayim, and he skipped over this Litvak. Everyone else is getting, and he doesn't get. He goes round, comes back again, and the same thing happens again. So at the end of it, he's very upset, very incensed. He thinks it's because of, you know, he's not one of them, he's a Litvak. So he goes over to the Gav and he asks him, why is it the Rebbe didn't give him any Shirayim? He says, you don't understand the way it works with brachas. He says, everyone else had their hands like this. They're waiting to be makabel to receive a bracha. But with you, you were trying to take a bracha. You don't take a bracha. You wait to be makabel to receive a bracha. And therefore, the tzaddik is the keli to be makabel the bracha from on high. And then he has to transmit that bracha through the pipeline to the neshama of the person. There's a halacha that we know that we have to face kahanim when it comes to birkas kahanim. And if you're behind the kahanim, then it doesn't work. Why is it doesn't work if you're standing behind? We know from the Gemara that if a person finds himself he's not well, right, but he's somewhere in the city, even if he's not in the shul, yet we know from the Gemara, and Rashi says clearly there, if the person's sick, for example, he's incapacitated, he's an oynes, he can't get to shul, yet despite the fact that he's not in front, befonov, of the kohen, yet still he receives the bracha. Why? Because the idea of being in front of the kohanim is the idea of being submissive, the idea of showing his humility that he's waiting in front of him to receive the bracha. If you go behind the kohanim, you're showing your indifference, you're showing you're a bit arrogant. That's not the way a person's makaba receives a bracha. But if a person, through no fault of their own, is incapacitated, he's at home, he can't get there because he's not well, it's not because he doesn't want to be in front of the kohanim for birkas kohanim. It's simply because he's not able to, and therefore he would get a bracha. And therefore we see this idea that it's not, it has to be, one has to be submissive, one has to have humility in order to be makabel the bracha. So the tzaddik, or the kohen, when he's giving the bracha, right, he's the conduit to give that bracha. What's his job? It's important for us to bear this in mind for the rest. He has to try to connect to the person standing in front of him, the Mavakesh, the one who's asking for the bracha. And therefore he has to feel the person's pain, he has to feel the anguish, and therefore through feeling that pain, what that person's going through, Ima Anochi Betzara, then he's going to be able to connect. So therefore there has to be this connection. There has to be this person, the person who's asking for the bracha, the Mavakesh, he's got to be machnia himself, he's got to be humble, he's got to be submissive. And the person who's giving the bracha, who's being the mashbir, who's the noisei, he has to connect with the person, understand, be on the same wavelength, relate to the person who's asking whatever he's being asked. There's a famous question about Yitzchak and in regards to the brachas that he gives. We know that Rivka decided that she had to ensure that Yaakov would receive the bracha. Right, the Bechor, the brachas of the Bechor. And therefore she came up with this whole plan, this whole ruse that he would dress up and then he would go in, right? We're all familiar. It's poshut question. Why did Rivka not simply walk into the room of Yitzchak and say to him, Yitzchak, you're blind. Not just literally, but psychologically. The wool is being pulled over your eyes. Day in, day out, by your son, by Esau. And therefore the right person for you to give the bracha to is Yaakov. That's all she had to do. We've got to go through all this ruse, all these games, dressing up, right, making the matzah min so you could go in. It doesn't make sense. But based on what we've said, the Rambam fits in very nicely with the Ramban. The Ramban gives two approaches to answer this question. And he said, she could have done that. Rivka could have gone in and told Yitzchak that he should give the bracha to Esav.
Yeah.
To Yaakov instead of Esav. But what would have resulted? Yitzchak would have gone through the motions and he would have given the bracha to Yaakov. But in his heart, what would he have felt? He would have felt tremendous disappointment. He wouldn't have felt the same connection. He wouldn't have been giving that bracha with a lev sholim. And therefore, it would have been words that would have been said of the bracha, but the heart would not have been in it. And therefore, there would have been a lack of connection, a disconnect between the noisei and the makabel. So says the Ramban. Rav Sadok says, I think returning to our parasha, in the past, when the Jewish people had asked for things, Moshe Rabbeinu was quite simply able to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever they want, you want mon, I'll get you mon. You want food, I'll get you food. And eventually you want water, I can pull water out of rocks, there's no problem. What was so difficult in this particular occasion? Because there was no shidduch between what was being asked, what the people were asking, and what Moshe was going to be able to give. Moshe, as Moshe, could not possibly give that meat. Moshe can give things which are supernatural, but to give something which is so choymedic, which is so gashmiastic, which is so physical, that's not Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is kularuchni. So why is it that the people were asking for what they were asking, and particularly at this moment in time? So, Moshe, as we said, he can give ruchni a stick of food, man or water, but he can't give them this food. And that is why Moshe said, at this moment, says Rav Tzadok, that if you insist that I have to give the Klal Yisrael meat, then literally you are killing me. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's essence, who he was kularuchni. You want me to be able to provide through my tzinor, through my pipes, meat, something which is gashmi, something that is physical? It can't work. It's not who I am. It means a yerida from who I am as the Manig Yisrael. And for that, if I've got to move down, then I'd rather not exist. I'd rather not be the leader. So therefore, what's the solution? Well, remember the question. Zikne Yisrael. Therefore, now was the time where there was going to be a delegation. For this moment in time, it was necessary. Because through that delegation of having the Shivan Zikne Yisrael, then there would be able, a bit of Moshe's Neshama would be able to go into each one of them. And through them, they would be able to then transmit it to Klal Yisrael. And that dilution of Moshe Rabbeinu's Tzinor meant that it wasn't Kula Ruchni, and therefore the Gashmi aspect of the meat would be able to come down, and therefore they would be able to receive what they were asking for indirectly, but not directly through Moshe. And therefore, why were they asking for meat at this time? Says Rav Tzadok, that meat we mentioned is something exceptionally Gashmi, something physical. There was in the subconscious of Klal Yisrael, he says, an awakening at this time for what? That they had a cheshek, they had a teshuka for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was a different existence to living in the Midbar. In the Midbar, it was a dor dea, they had nisim and niflos, left, right and center. When it comes to entering into Eretz Yisrael, what did it mean? It meant that they would now have to work the land. They'd have to deal with the day in, day out, nitty-gritty of life. It was a different existence. And therefore, their cheshek for wanting to connect with the land, to be in the land, subconsciously that came up now. And it manifested through them asking for something which is physical, which was in asking for the meat. For that reason... Therefore, we find that Eldad and Medad prophesied, right? They had Nevuah. Why Davka right now? They could have had it a couple of years earlier. They could have had it earlier in the Sefer. Why does it have to be Davka right now when the people have this Teshuka? For the very reason that we've said. Because what was their prophecy? That Moshe was going to die and Yeshua was going to take over. And therefore, it's because Klal Yisrael had subconsciously this cheshek for Eretz Yisrael, and in turn that meant a more gashmiyistiker existence. Therefore they recognized it wasn't a shidduch between Moshe and Klal Yisrael, because they seem to be heading in a different direction. Moshe can't exist. He himself, by his own confession and admission, said that I can't exist, I don't want to exist if this is where we are heading. And therefore, that's why they had the Nevuah. Similarly, with Aaron and Miriam, we find in the parasha what happens, that they speak what is, on their madriga, was considered Lashon Hara. Right? What's the connection? So again, Rav Tzadok says that Aaron and Miriam have a stronger connection to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Aaron is the kahuna, and Miriam represents the Malchus, right? So therefore, between the two of them, Malchus and Kahuna, that is only in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, when they saw that it wasn't a shidduch anymore, Moshe couldn't directly give to Klal Yisrael what they were asking, they said, they didn't understand how Moshe, for them it seemed wrong, that Moshe Rabbeinu should be living apart from his wife. It didn't seem to fit in with what where Klal Yisrael were going. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a Gashmi sticker, there's a more earthly existence. And therefore, Moshe's behavior, they didn't understand how it would fit in. Of course, although eventually we did transition and move from the Dor Dea, the existence of the supernatural, to the more real existence. Where were we right now as Klal Yisrael? We were still in it. We were still very much in the Midbar. And therefore, it was not appropriate for them to say what they said at this particular moment in time. And therefore, perhaps we can suggest, I'd like to suggest an approach, an answer that I saw from Rav Zakutinsky. He says as follows. They gave the meat through the Zakenim, right? And they were told, you're going to have so much meat, not only enough for one day, not enough for 2 days, it's going to be over a month and it's going to be coming out of your nostrils. Right? That signified what? That they had a tremendous teshuka, they had a cheshek for Eretz Yisrael, it would appear, which would seem to be a good thing. But it seems that that cheshek, we know what happens next. What's the next week's parasha? Raglim! The very same people that seem to be manifesting a cheshek for Eretz Yisrael in this week's parasha are complaining about Eretz Yisrael next week. So in reality, the cheshek that they had in this week, in their subconscious, it wasn't really theirs. It wasn't theirs that they owned. It was reverberations from the shuka that their children had and would have, and those were the ones that were going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So it wasn't really them. And therefore, that's why says you want to have you think that you have the lofty motives in saying that you want to go into Eretz Yisrael right now. You're ready to enter into Eretz Yisrael and have a physical existence. Rabban Shem knows whether it's true or whether it's not true, and therefore they're being disingenuous. It was manifest and it was shown to them the fact that it wasn't real. By it coming out of the nostrils, by the gashmias coming out of their nostrils to show them that what they really wanted, what they said they wanted, wasn't actually who they really were. And therefore, it seems that there are two possible takeaway messages that we can see from here. Firstly, we see the way to receive a brocha from a tzaddik, right? The way is, it's about as much about receiving, being a makabel, as making requests. The idea of being submissive, of hachnor, are key aspects of that brocha. So therefore, be it birkas kohanim, or be it when we go to see a tzaddik, right? We have to know the way that we are meant to be behaving. It's not about making demands and requests. It's about being machnia ourselves. And secondly, we know that every door, every generation, it gets the leader that generation deserves. And the mistake that that generation made, the Dodea made, that Moshe, they thought, at this time was the wrong leader, they didn't understand that, they didn't understand themselves, they didn't understand their own generation. And so often is the case that we are always very quick, people are very quick to say about whoever the Manhig Yisrael is, or whoever the Rav is, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's past it, or he's too young, or he doesn't know what he's doing, he's out of touch, or there's a new reality, situation is different now, times have changed. We've heard all these excuses before. We see from the parsha, and we see from this Moedek Yesod, that that's not the case. There's a shidduch between a tzaddik, between a manig Yisrael, and between Klal Yisrael. And if that's who the shidduch is, then that's who the Rabban Shlomo said, and that is the way it's meant to be. And therefore, Bezras Hashem, we should take the messages to heart. Rabban Shlomo should shower his brachas on each and every one of us. Baruch Nias, Ragashmias, Amen.